Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we begin a new four-week sermon series on the book of Jonah. Jonah is a short book, only four chapters, one for each week in October. Many people think Jonah is a fish story. I mean that in two ways. First of all, it's about a big fish. And that's true, but Jonah is about much more than just the big fish. Second of all, people call Jonah a fish story because they think it's in the same way that a fisherman sometimes talks about their latest fishing expedition, that it's a tall tale, not really true. Now, that idea is completely false. Jonah is not a tall tale. It's not a fish story. It is history. As we begin the book of Jonah today, let me share with you three important facts about the book of Jonah. First of all, number one, the book of Jonah is historical. Jonah is not a tall tale, it's not a fable, it's not a parable, it's history, just like the rest of the Bible. Jonah is not a mythological character, he's a real person who lived at a real time in a real place and interacted with real people. As we hear about in 2 Kings 14:25, it says, Jeroboam too was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai. So 2 Kings 14 verse 25 tells us that Jonah was the son of Amittai. He was from Gath Hepher in the territory of Zebulun in the land of Israel, the northern kingdom. And he prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam II, the longest reigning king of the northern kingdom. Jeroboam reigned for 41 years. Historians date his rule from around 790 BC to 750 BC. So Jonah lived and preached during those times. In terms of the other prophets, he followed close behind the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. So it went Elijah and then Elisha, and following Elisha was Jonah. Jonah is a real person, just like Jeroboam II was real, just like Elijah was real, just like Elisha was real. He's a real person, real time, real place. So not only do we have the testimony of the scriptures that Jonah was a real person, we have the testimony of the Lord Jesus himself, and there can be no greater or higher testimony than that. If you want to claim that Jonah is a myth, you have to argue with Jesus about that, because Jesus compares his ministry and mission to the ministry and mission of Jonah in Matthew 12, 39 through 40. The Pharisee and the teachers of the law came to Jesus and demanded that he should show them a sign. They had seen plenty of signs from Jesus already, all sorts of healing and miracles. But it was never enough. For some people, no amount of signs done by the Lord would ever be enough. Jesus said, a wicked and rebellious generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12, 39 through 40. In other words, the miraculous deliverance of Jonah from the big fish was a sign pointing towards an even greater miracle, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the most important miracle in all of history. Anyone who thinks that Jonah's a myth or that Jonah is, well, not really an important book of the Bible, well, Jesus thought just the opposite. Jesus speaks of Jonah as a real person who experienced a real miracle, and that miracle points to the most important miracle of all time, the very foundation of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, the first fact about the book of Jonah to remember is that it is historical. The second fact to remember about Jonah is that it is honest. Most biblical scholars agree that the book of Jonah is autobiographical. The prophet himself, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote his own experiences down in this short but very powerful book. And what strikes me most about the book of Jonah is, well, Jonah's honesty. Jonah does not write about himself as some great hero. He's very honest about his flaws, his shortcomings, and his sins. Like the disciples who wrote the Gospels, Jonah portrays himself as being a sinner. He's not the hero of the book. The Lord is the true hero. The book of Jonah is not a hero's journey. It's more of a confession of someone whom God used in a powerful way, despite his sinfulness. Jonah shows himself to be a sinner in so many ways. He shows himself to be disobedient to God and incredibly selfish when it comes to his relationships with people. Here's how Jonah starts his book. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. God tells Jonah, hey, Jonah, I've got exciting news for you. You've got a new call. No longer will you be at Trinity Lutheran Church in Gath Hefer. Instead, you have been called to First Lutheran Church in Nineveh. Now, you have to understand, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the arch enemies of the Israelites. Assyria was the world's most powerful country at that time, and Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was known for its godlessness and its cruelty. Jonah, when he received this divine call, said to God, no way, I'm not going to Nineveh. Jonah found a ship going the opposite way, one that was headed for Tarshish, also known as Spain, and sailed off in the other direction. Jonah, as far as prophets go, paints himself as one of the worst. Instead of saying, here am I, send me, like Isaiah did, Jonah says to God, send somebody else. I'm out of here. I am off to Tarshish. He completely rejects God's will for his life. He is completely disobedient. He also portrays himself to be completely selfish when it came to the needs of others. Jonah, in complete disobedience to the Lord, gets on board the boat headed for Tarshish. They sail off, and the Lord sends a huge storm to keep the boat from getting there. Jonah 1, 4, and 5. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to their own God. And they threw the cargo in the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Jonah 1, 4, and 5. It's a huge, violent storm. It threatens to break apart the ship. The ship is in trouble. They start throwing cargo into the sea. They hold an emergency prayer meeting. They tell everyone, pray like you've never prayed before. What does Jonah do, this so-called man of God? He says, you know, this would be a really good time for a nap. I mean, how selfish can you get? The ship's in trouble. People are going to die. They're asking people to pray. Jonah says, not my problem, and goes to take a nap. Jonah might be one of the worst prophets ever. He is disobedient to the Lord. He cares nothing about the needs of other people. He only cares about himself. How can God possibly use someone as stubborn, disobedient, and selfish like Jonah? Maybe God should have just let him drown, but God doesn't do that because God is compassionate. And that brings us to point number three, our third and final fact to understand about the book of Jonah. Fact number one, the book of Jonah is historical. Fact number two, the book of Jonah is honest. He shows us his own sinfulness. Fact number three, the book of Jonah is not a fish story. It's not even about Jonah. No, the book of Jonah is really about God's relentless compassion. When the crew finds out that it is Jonah who is the source of this trouble, they show compassion to Jonah, more compassion than Jonah showed to them. They try to row back to shore, but they can't. Jonah knows what they have to do, and he agrees to let them throw him in. And when that happens, the sea becomes calm. God, in his mercy, sends a big fish to rescue Jonah from the sea. The ship is saved. Jonah is saved. But what's really important, I think, is what happens next. What do the sailors do? They repent and turn away from their idols and their false gods and turn to the true God, the God that Jonah told them created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. They turn their backs on their false gods and put their faith in the true God. So even though Jonah was far from a great prophet, even though he was far from the perfect preacher, through the power of God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit, the entire crew become believers in the one true God, which means that they were saved from much more than a storm. They were saved through God's grace from sin and death. They were saved to everlasting life. That is an amazing miracle. These heathen sailors become believers in the true God, and inheritors of eternal life. That's the compassion of God at work. But God's desire is not just that Jonah and the sailors be saved to eternal life, but that all people everywhere hear his word, believe his word, and be saved to eternal life. 1 Timothy 2:4 says God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God does not want some people to be saved. God does not want most people to be saved. God's desire is that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's where you and I come in. Jonah was called to Nineveh. You and I have a calling to be God's witnesses wherever God has placed us, to proclaim the deeds of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, to be his chosen and royal priesthood. Now, you might think that you're not good enough or smart enough or holy enough or nice enough to be God's witnesses. But that's okay. Neither was Jonah. God used him anyway. Jonah could be stubborn and disobedient and selfish, but you know what? So can we. But thanks be to God, our God is a compassionate and forgiving God. He sees our sins, and instead of showing us judgment, he shows us compassion through our Lord Jesus Christ. He forgives all of our sins over and over again, and then asks us that we ourselves would become witnesses to his compassion and to his forgiveness in a world that desperately needs compassion and forgiveness. See, God has given us a mission, just like he gave Jonah a mission. And that mission is the most important mission in all of history, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all of creation. Why? Because God has a relentless compassion for the lost. Because God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.